Hello and welcome to PowerPod episode 2, and thank you so much for tuning in, everyone who has subscribed as well, and anyone who hasn't, please do so. And also thank you so much for your lovely messages. We have literally been contacted by people around the world, which is just so awesome to have your support. So good morning, Nick, how are we feeling?
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good. How is this nice early start for you?
Yes, for anyone who's listening, we didn't touch on this in our opening episode, but the weekly time that we are recording is 6:30 a.m. I'm not a morning person, but producer Caleb's already been to the gym. This is usual for Philippa with a young family, and this is new. But hey, what a week. What an amazing week, having launched the PowerPod. A decent chunk of people have listened. Thank you so, so much. If you press the subscribe button as well, even better. We've had some lovely, lovely messages from people. And it seems instincts were right, Phil. People want a bit more about the PWR. And looking forward to bringing it over the course of the season.
Awesome. And haven't we got so much to talk about after an awesome round one? It kicked off with Saracens welcoming Trailfinders women to North of London. Whilst on the other side of the capital, Quins welcome Susie Appleby's Exeter for a bit of a tight encounter. Then Loughborough and Gloucester Hartbury were at home with the Bears and the Tigers travelling to Northampton and Gloucester respectively.
Yeah, weekend where there were three hat-tricks by an impressive Vicky Laughlin, albeit in a losing cause at Saracens, while Bristol were their best with Renika Bonner and Millie David also scoring three each. But, the nature of the pod is that we might get some headlines every now and then. We've got a bit of breaking news, haven't we, Phil?
We have, yeah. One that was, a bit of a surprise to me. Belinda Moore has departed the PWR. So Belinda Moore being the CEO.
Yeah, she certainly has. The PWR board are going to be stepping up. Claire Rogan, Kelly Simmons, they were already involved in some areas. Chair Genevieve Shaw is going to take on a few more responsibilities. There was a small statement. I mean, it basically just says, has chosen to step away at this time. I think that's raised a few eyebrows. We are a matter of, 2-3 days into the new season. I guess, it's certainly a line I got out of PWR as well. There may not be a good time, it does seem slightly curious timing. I think, it's worth mentioning that while the Premier 15s existed since 2017, this was a completely new, fresh start for a new independent company outside of the RFU. So I think the nature of startup energy and having to get a company going has, it takes a lot, Phil.
Oh, God, absolutely. But to be honest with you, that's for me where I was maybe a little bit surprised, because from when I've heard her speak, only a few months ago, she talked about how hard that was to get things going. But they, from my view, I thought they did really well. They secured the TV deal, which has been huge for them. I love that campaign they put in place, The Power Differently. You could still see that now, where they're, highlighting that some of these women in the league are working full-time jobs and some amazing variety of jobs out there. And yet they're still absolutely killing it on the pitch as well. So I was a little surprised. I thought and hoped there was more to come, but that's her decision. And like you say, there's some good people in place now to step up.
Yeah, there certainly are. Yeah, I don't get a sense that they're rushing into getting a new CEO. I think the likes of Genevieve Shaw and colleagues are there to be able to steady the ship for a while. I know Belinda's got a young family. She's one of those who, she'll have already been up an hour before we were recording this morning, going to the gym. She has an unbelievable schedule. And, you just wonder how much that takes its toll after a couple of years of slogging away. But we certainly wish Belinda the best. Belinda Moore. Belinda not anymore, trademark Caleb. So we move through that little bit of news this week. Now then, round one, shall we have a little look back and then we can run through the fixtures that are coming up in round two? We've also had a couple of you getting in touch with us on the power line, and we've got some other little bits of reaction for you as well. Saracens Trailfinders was our first game on Saturday in round one. Saracens 38, Trailfinders 29. It finished. I actually went up and managed to watch that one. We had referee George Selwood in charge, having run the line at Franklin's Gardens. He was on hand to take charge of this one in North London. Sharifa Kosolo, she was on good form, good carries in close contact. You know, we've got these internationals away. It's no doubt going to be a running theme over our review. But actually, these players who stepped up in their absence, you know, it didn't make it look like the quality of the league was taking that much of a backward step, despite the huge numbers of players that are away at WXV. May Campbell, who we know has just the one England cap, she looked amazing. She was wearing number 7. Sometimes, obviously, we see her in the front row, but she looked really, really good. And Vicky Laughlin, Trailfinders, 2 tries in 10 minutes and managed to get herself the hat trick. She was looking the real deal.
Yeah, awesome game, wasn't it? Absolute tri-fest. And, you know, good on Trailfinders. You know, we talk about this period where those internationals are away, and with all due respect to Trailfinders, who are, you know, slightly lower down the league, or certainly were last year, they've got to be looking at those teams at the top and going, right, whilst they haven't got the big guns, let's go at them. And they certainly did. Scored within the first 5 minutes. Absolutely awesome. Really entertaining rugby. But, you know, credit to Saris. They've got that experience. Sarah McKenna, you could just see her bossing things around. You know, when times got hard, they just went to that driving line out mall, just resettled themselves. But a lot of positives to be taken away for Trailfinders from that game.
Yeah, they would have really hoped to have got a little more out of that game. They managed to get themselves the try bonus. They would have loved 2 points from the Stonex. They were not a million miles away from getting, you know, 4 or 5. And a word on that Vicky Laughlin hat-trick, the last try coming off the back of the brilliant run from Grace White.
Yes.
It was really impressive. I mean, an amazing break. They actually had nearly double the number of line breaks to Saracens. So you talk about the rolling mall working for Alex Osterbury's side. Well, certainly Trailfinder showing that they're keen to offer a running game and defensively pretty strong as well. Annabelle Metta, someone who I have to say I didn't know an awful lot about. She looks really good. She topped the tackle count of all the players in that game with 17. I actually got the chance to catch up with her afterwards and just wanted to find out a little bit more about where her rugby journey started.
I didn't really start with rugby. I was kind of like an all-rounder. Like, I played like any sport, to be fair, like in school and stuff. And then I got introduced to rugby in secondary. And then I thought, why not join my local club? And then went from there and played for County.
Which was your local club?
Wimbledon RFC. Okay. And then I played for Surrey County, then Quinn C of E, and then joined Henley College for a couple of years, and then I'm at Trailfinders now. So yeah, I went through their pathway and started playing here last year. So yeah.
What do you like most about the game?
The physicality. Even though, like, I complain, like, post-match, I do love it while I'm in it. Like, I just love hitting someone and just, like, running through someone and, like, giving my all, you know?
Like most things, it feels great on a Saturday, but not so great on a Sunday.
No, exactly. Exactly that, yeah.
Good. Well, you've got a week to recover before you've got the visit of Loughborough Lightning, which is going to be a pretty interesting one. Two teams that are going to want to get one over each other.
Exactly.
Certainly, you know, I'm not going to suggest you're a mid-table team, but we know what it's going to take to break into that top four. But certainly, it's an ambition that Loughborough have. It's got to be an ambition Trailfinders have.
Yeah, we definitely have what it takes to beat Loughborough. And we did show it here today. So, yeah, I reckon we've got Loughborough in the bag when it comes next week. So, yeah, pretty much. We're good. We'll be all right.
And that is just the ambition of youth, isn't it? Just so unashamedly, yeah, we're going to have them. Yeah, we're going to go for it. I love that. Absolutely brilliant. And great to hear that she's coming through the pathway. You know, we talk a lot about like Gloucester Hartbury and the amount of girls they get coming through Hartbury College and how pivotal that's been for their strength and depth. Now to hear that Trailfinders have got that link up with Henley College, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was definitely a moment where I think Alex, the Trailfinders media manager, was slightly squirming, going, oh, that's a player being very bullish about what we're going to do next week. But you're absolutely right. I absolutely love it. I tell you what, someone else who was also quite keen to have their say, and this is how far the power pod is reaching through episode one, was Alex Osterbury, who is, of course, the Saracens head coach. And our conversation last week, we were talking about a few things from different clubs, and Alex was certainly keen to come and find me and have a chat about actually what the outlook is from Saracens and how they're looking at this season.
I think what's a good season for us last year in terms of, you know, a cup win, finishing second in the league, you know, beating a team that had been unbeaten and went on to be champions, like it's an, you know, for some people that's a great season. For us, it's short of what I believe this group is capable of and has the potential to do.
And that's probably what we'll all do. We'll judge you by those high standards you've set for yourselves previously, I guess.
Yeah, I think just we've also just got to make sure that the context is right. But what you guys in the media talk about, that you know, you've got to sell new advertisement on your pod. So I get you've got to be controversial with what you bring in. I just think you know that sometimes what we have done and what we continue to do is taken for granted, and when people on the outside comment about culture and connections, I will never comment on something that I don't know about. You know, that's not my place. Every environment is different. Every culture is different. And just because some people might not necessarily be embedded or understand it doesn't mean it's a poor culture. So that's probably just a little bit of a trigger for me when people speak about things that they're probably not fully aware of. So I invite you in to come in for a week. You know, see what it's like, see what we're fully like under pressure, sit in the coach's box, see what your heart rate does. But, yeah, no, look, ultimately, the sound from the outside, all due respect to you and your industry, it doesn't make any difference to us. We know what we've got to do. We know what we're capable of doing. And hopefully, you know, we've started with a positive bounce today that we can build on for that and make it a truly special season. It's going to be tough. Every week's going to be tough, and the fact that every week comes after another week with the quantity and volume of fixtures is going to be a real challenge.
Have you done anything in terms of, you know, approaching that? Because it is going to be a relentless schedule, finishing in the middle of March, as we know. Like, are there different things you're doing, different ways you're going to have to balance the team, work with the S&C departments?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, lucky or unlucky that, you know, post the last World Cup, we had a period where we played 11, I think it was actually 12 games in 13 weeks. So we've got a lot of data from that and what we needed to do, how we manage things appropriately, and obviously speaking with counterparts on the men's side of stuff, how do they manage the volume? But also, it's, you know, that space is ever evolving. We've got lots of expertise in the room that, you know, indicates where stress levels are, where tolerance levels are, so that, you know, we can manage players individually. So, you know, it sounds very boring, but there's a, you know, it's probably, as soon as it's written, it's out of date, but there's a tracker of who we think is going to get exposures where, what does that look like, what are potential regen weeks for players. So that's all in existence. Again, you know, someone gets a whack today, it changes it all, or, you know, fingers crossed no one picks up injuries on international duty. But it's something that's an evolving kind of process, so that we don't get caught short, or that we don't, you know, push a player when the data or the body or just the player is telling you that there's something that's not quite right. So yeah, it is a balancing act.
Well, my thanks to Alex. There you go, Phil. We're reaching the great and the good with the power pod already after week one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great. And you know what? The main thing I get from that is genuine passion, like almost to the point of, you know, protectivity over the team. And that's just brilliant to hear. You know, we want coaches in this game for the right reasons. And if there was ever an example of a coach that truly believes in his team, truly believes what they are doing, that's it. So awesome to hear that. And yeah, I hope if that, you know, that's the case, look out for them this season.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentioned in round one, Emma Taylor doing the kicking, and who doesn't love a second row that does that? She was on good form doing that at the weekend. And Saracens coming out on top then in that one. And we should perhaps hear from, well, our reporter power pal, because we had Matt Bartlett get in touch down the power line, who clearly spotted me wandering around the Stonex. But let's hear from Matt now and his report on what he saw.
Hi guys, it's Matt Bartlett here from the Saracens Fans podcast, the Fezcast. It's great to see that you've got a officially endorsed women's rugby podcast out there now. It's fantastic, helping us grow the game. Like Nick, I was at the Stonex today for Saracens against Ealing. I just thought it was worth a shout to the Saracens media guy, specifically to Harry Scott Munro, who's been running that for a few years now. Their initiative trying to stream pretty much every match at home over the last few seasons as much as they can, and some of the new ventures that they're doing this season. It's just worth a shout, because I, to be honest, didn't realise that Harry himself almost pretty much single-handedly pushing that through, trying a lot of new things with the stream today. He's possibly the fastest moving person at the Stonex on a match day, including most of the players, actually. So he takes on a huge amount of work, and he's right at the centre of a lot of the good work that Saracens are doing pushing the women's team. So I thought it's just definitely worth a shout for his work and the media team's work there, just trying to get that stream. It sounds like there's hopefully some new things coming with that streaming service that the Saracens women are doing. I'm don't want to give anything away. That's not my place to do so. But yeah, definitely worth keeping an eye on it. So yeah, just my nudge for the Saracens media guys. Thanks for what you're doing, and yeah, all the best.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. And yeah, shout out to the Fezcast and all things Saracens. And of course, to our friend Harry Scott Munro, who's getting all the praise there. Matt also teasing us with bigger things to come. I am intrigued as to what that's going to be.
Oh, keeping us in suspense. Love it. Okay, let's move on to the next one. From a tri-fest to a bit of an arm wrestle, where we saw Harlequins take on Exeter's. Harlequins 7, Exeter Chiefs 8. So we've got another power pal, another reporter, Tom Sims. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Exeter Chiefs with the win 8-7. A day for the defence, really. I think plenty of running metres by both sides, but probably plenty more tackles by both sides. It was a good day. Late scrum dominance from Exeter and plenty of penalties won them the day. Early season, both sides shorn of internationals. But a good run out for both sides.
Defence was certainly a factor in that game, wasn't it? I mean, look, I actually think we've seen an improvement there in Harlequins. They went for it. They literally threw everything at Exeter. But Exeter's defence really held out good.
Yeah, it was an impressive defensive performance. Those tackles, I mean, Tom Sims has nailed it in terms of a report there. Quinn's made 103 tackles, missing 5. Chiefs made 231 tackles, missing 29. I mean, if you're going to make that many more, you're probably going to miss a few more. Yeah. A shout for the Chiefs tight five. Demi Swan made 20. Clara Nielsen, 10. Flo Long made 19. Poppy Leach made 21. Neve Orchard made 27 tackles in one game. And a shout for Maisie Allen, who made 26. So, yeah, absolutely incredible. Pre-game, Ross Chisholm said, "We want to be remembered for being brave, physical and entertaining." I think those are their three words this season. They're probably pinned on a notice board somewhere. But losing the game through a last minute scrum doesn't necessarily say that's quite the physical aspect that they'd like to be bringing. And I guess you've got to give a shout out to Millie Whitehouse, Michaela Nielsen and Flo Long, who played, you know, the whole match, who were Chiefs front row at the end. And I guess, you know, while it was an improvement from Quinn's, Phil, it's just that element where they have again played well and come up short, and you just hope that's not going to be a tale of things to come.
Yeah, absolutely. They had 15 entries into the 22. That's a lot to only come away with one try. They've got to be more clinical than that. I did really like Laggie Tuima slotting in at fly half quite a bit, moving from centre. She just offers a different dynamic, and she was certainly mixing up the attack and getting people guessing. But no, for me, it's credit to Exeter Chiefs. They were under so much pressure, the amount of defensive work they got through. And just put it into perspective, because some people, you know, might not be a fan with the stats. Generally, 140 to 160 tackles you'll make in a game, in a decent competitive game. Anything over 200 is huge. 230 is massive. Like, that really is a big shift from Exeter.
And a fan predicted it in last week's power line contribution. But the Liv McGovern factor, I mean, you know, she slotted the penalty to win the game by a point. Can we talk about the conversion
that
she was charged down on? How did you see it?
Yeah, I thought it was very harsh. And I went straight to my refereeing friend, JP. So John Paul Doyle, if anyone doesn't know, Irish referee. And I was like, please explain the law to me. I need something concrete. And brilliantly, he came back and went, well, it's vague. And I was like, I don't need vague. I need black and white. So the actual law, if we want to get really, really nosy.
Yes, that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for, isn't it? Right, okay. So law 8.14. All players retire to their goal line and do not overstep that line until the kicker makes a move in any direction to begin their approach to kick. Now, making a move is sort of interpreted as feet, yeah? So not waving your hands or whatever. Now, she shuffled, but she didn't move forward. It was like she picked up her heels. However, I do know that some referees feel that you do your three steps back or whatever it is, you do your little crouch, you do your little shimmy, but then there's always that moment of pause. The body becomes still. Quite often you'll see the players looking from the ball up to the post, sort of eyeing up. Any movement after that pause is deemed as the commence of the kick. So it's one of those, unfortunately, a bit of a vague interpretation. But ultimately, my feeling was that was harsh. She just sort of moved her heels. It didn't look like she was really going for it. But equally, great chase up by Quinns.
I mean, the bigger shuffle would certainly be going on for a few days, and people would have charged him down years ago if you're looking at any movement. And Emma Singh has certainly had had her own routines in terms of prepping to kick. I thought it was harsh as well. I still thought that McGovern was settling her feet before she began her movement in either direction. It used to be, I think, or at least people used to think it was approaching the ball. So therefore, when the distance between the player and the ball started to narrow, that's when the run-ups occurred. But we now know that it is movement in any direction. Needless to say, she missed the conversion, down 7-5, but got the penalty, and that was job done. So it's a handy few points on the road for Susie Appleby and the Chiefs, but no doubt a frustrating one for Quinns. Loughborough Lightning against Bristol Bears. So this one was taking place at the St Stadium at Franklin's Gardens. We saw a first half 8-minute hat-trick from Renika Bonner. It had Bristol Bears cruising at 29 points to 5. Bristol were, as Caleb has put it, at their jouet best and putting Lightning to the sword. A 46-19 drubbing. Who did you mention last week as being key to Bristol Bears, Philippa?
Oh, let me think. Amber Reid. Man, yes. Come on. So good.
And I was watching those first few tries. I mean, she was involved in every single one. Now, I know she was playing with 10 on her back, so you'd expect a lot of the back moves to come through the 10. But she picked out a couple of 20-metre passes to put players into space on those wide angles. So I thought that was really impressive. And look, we know Bristol Bears love to play a possession game. It seemed to work for them last year. I mean, it is incredible. They only kicked twice in the whole game compared to 10 by Loughborough Lightning. I was watching a bit of social media bits, some reels during the week. I saw Victoria Rush asking some fans, you know, what do you love about the women's game compared to the men's game? And a lot of them are saying, well, a lot more running and a lot less kicking. Well, that's certainly what you're going to get down in Bear Country over the course of this season. Thought it was really impressive. Bonus point wrapped up in 13 minutes. Second half, Millie David try. Oh, that's going to be a contender for try of the week against that one from Grace White and Vicky Laughlin. It certainly feels like Nathan Smith has got a bit of defensive work to do. They got three tries at home, which means they've fallen short of any points earned. They will be welcoming their internationals back, but you just wanted a little more from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And defence, it was just those one-on-one tackles. I think it was like 36 missed tackles. That's just putting you right up against it, especially against someone like Bristol Bears. But, you know, out of all the teams so far, who's managing this period? It's early days. It's round one. But who's managing this period without their internationals? Wow, Bristol Bears just slotted in, you know.
And David will no doubt have been purring, possibly purring a little less when he saw the state of his wife's face after the WXV match, England against New Zealand. We may give that a polite touch on later, but it looks like they've done a very good tidying stitch-up job on Abby Ward before she will be returning to the fray after the final match of WXV. All right, Phil, Gloucester Hartbury?
Well, if we thought the Sarries games were the tri-fest, Gloucester Hartbury, my gosh, absolutely awesome. 13 tries. The Circus and Leicester Tigers just, you know, match them with their fun and their love for the game. Really enjoyable game. The spectators were treated, absolutely. Really enjoyed this one. Emma Singh, again, is she just, you know, she's up there with Amber Reid, isn't she? The type of player that you want. But also for Gloucester Hartbury, they've got Gwen Crabb, who is the Welsh international, who would always be out there in WXV, but she's coming back from a bit of a nasty injury, which meant she's having a bit more time. So a real asset for Gloucester Hartbury. And then also the youngster from Wales, Gwenan Hopkins, number 8. She's going to be one to watch for the future. And then, you know, Rachel Lund, Charlie Wood. Gloucester Hartbury just got that depth. But equally, Leicester Tigers, they had that bit of early disruption. They lost their fly half. I mean, we talked, didn't we, last week that unfortunately they're going to be without Meg Jones for a period of time. So Natasha Jones was going to step in at fly half. She got pulled out. So Sarah Nicholas had to come in. And fair play, she steadied the ship. So to go, you know, away to Gloucester Hartbury, but again, like Trailfinders, just going for it. Awesome to see.
Yeah, and I actually want to give a shout out to Jordan Russell, who I thought was just absolutely brilliant. And I'm really looking forward to seeing more of what she's got to bring. And can we have a mention for Zainab Alima, scoring on her debut? She makes the journey up to Tigers three times a week to train. She's a mum of three. She's been all over the social supporting the women's game and also chronicling her journey. She's known as the bulldozer. And first hijabi Muslim to score a try, to play a match even in PWR. And for me, that's, if you can't see it, you can't be it. True inspiration. And I thought she played really well. She absolutely deserved her place there and absolutely performed with the cameras in town. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. And Leicester Tigers' attacking shape was really good for like the first couple of phases. Their work on is going to be when you've gone through three or four and you've got your pods and you've got people set up in places, what do you do next? Because they kind of resorted just a little bit sort of one out runners. That's going to be their, you know, evolution. But you can see the early signs of a really lovely shape of attack from them.
And Gloucester Hartbury, you know, showing their depth, like you mentioned, Amy Dale and then player of the match, Emma Singh, proving their value. Steph Else as well, who's leading the side at the minute. She made 19 tackles. So I imagine Sean Lynn will have been pretty pleased. I don't imagine he would have liked to have conceded quite as many tries from a team like Leicester Tigers as they did. But yeah, it's a decent shape for Gloucester Hartbury to be in, given the number of internationals that are missing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, there is a team of the week that is published every week by the PWR. Phil, you've run your eyes over it. What are your picks? What are your highlights?
Well, apparently we know a little bit about what we're doing because a couple of people we've talked about are in there, which is great. So, you know, Amber Reid, Lagituima, Vicky Laughlin, of course. But another player who people might not know about, so I just want to highlight her, Jenna De Vera. So she was the under-20s captain for Wales. She signed with Bristol Bears, and this was also her PWR debut. How good's that? You get into the dream team of the week off your PWR debut. I mean, come on. But no, honestly, this girl, she's been involved in and around the training camp in Wales, but she's had some nasty injuries. But good to see her in there. So look out for her. She'll be pushing for a starting position for the rest of the season.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Then, yes, the PWR Team of the Week. Make sure you find that online. All right, let's have a look at the games that are coming up in round two this coming weekend. All of the games are going to be live streamed on the home team's YouTube page. So that is a win for everybody that enjoys watching the rugby from the armchair. And, of course, not forgetting the TNT Sports match, which will be Trailfinders against Loughborough Lightning on Sunday. That one is a 12:45 kickoff. And I might know the commentator to doing that one. So let's have a little look. Bristol have got the bye this week, but first fixture 3 o'clock Saturday, Quins against Gloucester Hartbury.
Yeah, so Quins got to be more clinical, goes without saying. All right, Gloucester Hartbury are gonna score, so Quins have got, they've got to strengthen their defense, but they've also got to take their opportunities. Gloucester Hartbury have got that way of, you know, not maybe they don't mind conceding the odd few tries as long as they score a bucket load more. But actually, I think their progression is going to be try and be that stricter team, try and, you know, suffocate the opposition. So I think that's going to be their target against Quins. So it's almost a bad time really for Quins to try and work on being clinical because they're probably going to come up against a very fierce defence.
It could be a very long afternoon for Harlequins if they're not careful. Gloucester Hartbury, like you say, adopting what is now almost a John Mitchell Red Roses outlook. We're going to score one more than you, which is pretty much what he said at the weekend. Sale Sharks against Saracens. Sale opening their campaign at home with Saris coming to town. And just on Sale Sharks, we heard from Katie Daly-McLean, friend of the pod. She got in touch over the course of the week. Another superstar Rugby World Cup winner who's been listening to the Power Pod. And look, we want to give them a shout out up there. I know we mentioned Sale Sharks last week and your pal Rachel Taylor, who is up there. They do have a remit in terms of Northern Rugby Matters. They are super proud of their role up there. And it's a huge catchment area. It goes all the way up to that you know, Scottish border up there. And it's important that they're doing their job to get players into the game in that area. But, you know, we also want to keep mentioning the job that they're doing because they've been super at recruiting up there. They've managed to get, you know, internationals to bring their pals along. We mentioned Rigoni and Sophia Stefan last week. So, look, KDM, Rachel, we love what you're doing up there. We wish you the very best of the season, and we hope that we can touch base with you and learn a little bit more about it as the season goes on. So good luck to you guys. They've got Saracens. How do you see this one going, Phil?
You know what? Tough encounter. Great that it's a home game to kick off. But Sarries, as much as they came off the back of the win, they're going to have their frustrations from that game. You know, they are going to want to tighten things up. They're going to want to exuberate their dominance. They're going to want to be more physical. So look out, Sale Sharks. But awesome to see what they've got for this new season.
It's a Saturday evening kickoff, that one, 7 o'clock at Haywood Road. Okay, then into Sunday, we've got the feature TNT Sports match, Trailfinders against Loughborough. Look, I know in my chat with Annabelle earlier, I said I don't want to suggest it's a mid-table battle. I mean, it's a mid-table battle, isn't it? Between these two, it's early in the season to be suggesting it, but we imagine the top three or four will settle fairly similarly from last year. We know Loughborough want to push further in, and Trailfinders there. But yeah, I really like the look of this encounter because I could see them being fairly evenly matched.
Yeah, exactly right. I think when we've talked before about the likes of Trailfinders going to Sarries and really just going at them and seeing what they can get out of it in these early rounds, a game like Trailfinders against Loughborough Lightning, where they're evenly matched, this is a grudge match now. You know, this is where you've really got to prove who is going to push up into that the top of the mid-table. And you know what? Maybe even further, depending on the nature of the win.
And Exeter Chiefs against Leicester Tigers. Chiefs with the win in round one. Tigers who came up short at Gloucester Hartbury. That one is at Sandy Park, where Susie Appleby's Chargers love to play.
Oh, gosh. They are a different animal down there, aren't they? The support they get, the noise from the crowd is just awesome. Such a great vibe in games down at Exeter Chiefs. Exeter Chiefs, for me, defence, yep, great. Attack, handling errors, really disappointing. At times they were orchestrating their own downfall. They've got to sharpen that up. It was very much sort of pre-season nerves, if you will, that Susie Appleby is going to want to shake out of them.
So those are the four games taking place this weekend in round two. Needless to say that with the points that Gloucester Hartbury scored at home, they've put themselves to the top of the table where they finished last season. Depending on how things go on their visit to London this weekend, they could well find themselves sitting pretty again at the top after round two. We shall wait and see. Right. A huge thank you to those of you that tuned in called in via the power line. Thank you to Tom and to Matt who got in touch. We would love to hear from more of you. So if you're headed to the Stoop, to Haywood Road, to Vallis Way or Sandy Park, or if you've watched any of the live streams from the comfort of your front room, the power line is yours to reach us. That number, 07880 716 219. It makes my heart sing when I hear the little beep beep from the phone telling me that there's been another contributor. So do get in touch on the power line and tell us what you've been up to, what you think are the games that you've been enjoying. And we look forward to hearing that.
And on the note of hearing from you, so our little gimmick of sending one question out to another player, anything you want to ask them, has found some technical location issues. But hey, look, we'll be honest about it. We're doing this, you know, this is new to us. We're doing it. We thought it was a great idea. We didn't think someone wouldn't reply. They are going to reply. It's just not happened yet. So you know what? Let's just build the suspense. Let's say it's such an amazing answer that we're going to hold on to it till next week.
Excellent. No pressure, Rowmaster Mulhern and Bristol. Good. Yes. Lovely. I also wanted to, while we've got a second, just continue those shout outs that we did last week. Because we want to be collaborative here from the Power Pod. There are other people out there doing brilliant things. And there's a few inevitably that we missed out that we wanted to give a shout out to. So Black Girls Ruck Pod, I'm hoping that we can touch base with them at some point over the season. They are doing super work. Also the Fezcast, the Sarries offering, our friends over at Rugby Union Weekly, because ultimately we're sort of borrowing Phil Tuttiot over the course of the PWR season from Sarah Orchard, because you two have worked together a lot on Rugby Union Weekly, and you're likely to be doing that around international time, Six Nations time again. And Sarah was very kind to share the link to episode one on Facebook for grown-ups, also known as LinkedIn. So that was very nice of her, wasn't it?
Oh, Sarah Orchard, she's a good egg, isn't she?
Isn't she just? So thank you, Sarah. Also a shout to the Outside Centre pod. There's Robbie, Vicky Fleetwood, Ellie Boatman, doing super stuff there if you want to tune into that. You've also got young people coming through, the young people. We've got Frankie, that rugby girl. She was even back playing rugby last week. I saw that on the socials, playing flanker. And look, I think we also have to give some extra love to our friends at Good Scouse Rugby, the likes of Shira, the likes of Elmer. I have to say, there were moments in setting up this podcast where, because suddenly it was, you know, it was going to happen. There's almost consequences. There's going to be an audience. I got to the point of, you know, I couldn't do my shoes up without messaging Shira and going, I'm sorry, am I doing it right? Should I do this? And Shira has been so supportive. Her first reaction when we suggested doing the pod was, absolutely, there's a market for everybody doing their thing in this space. And so to Shira and to Elmer, who's become a great friend, huge thanks to them for supporting what we're doing. Anyone else to mention, Phil?
No, I think you've got them all there. That's absolutely awesome. And yeah, we are so lucky to be involved in the sport of rugby, because genuinely the community on a whole is supporting and encouraging, and it is all for the betterment of the growth and engagement of women's rugby.
Now, a couple of shout outs while we're here. I loved, we got a DM from Matt Farnes last week. Very kind. Great first pod. I was like, oh, that's nice. Sentence went on and really random, but I blocked up an internal doorway using one of Philippa's how-to videos on YouTube. I don't think, as our budding builder, I don't think there are many rugby pundits who were going to receive messages like
that. Well, yeah, there you go. But you know what? The funny thing, so I've got these like DIY clips on YouTube. And I'm not plugging it for royalties because I don't get them. I wish I did, but I don't. But actually, when I was at the Six Nations launch, chatting to Marley Packer, and she turned around and went, oh, loved your video the other day, learned how to lay a patio. I was like, you're joking. She was like, yeah, I didn't know how to do it. So I just Googled it and you came up. So yeah, if anyone wants any house maintenance, please go along, check it out. But like I say, I don't get royalties. It's all for the builder sharing knowledge, love.
All for the love of the game.
All for the love of the
great
game.
Moving on from that, I think we've got to give a shout this week to Lexi Chambers, who is doing extraordinary things. Lexi has been out in a wheelchair going from John O'Groats to Land's End, and it's all to spread the word of women's rugby. The challenge has looked unbelievable. Some of the footage that's on Lexi's Instagram really shows you the weather she's been through, the hills that she's been able to get. And it's probably best, coming from Lexi herself, whose journey is actually going to conclude about when this podcast comes out on Thursday this week. Let's hear from Lexi Chambers on what it's all about.
Hi, PowerPod. Thanks so much for the shout out. So what I've been doing is wheeling my way from John O'Groats to Land's End using a box-standard everyday wheelchair. And one of the main reasons I've been doing this is to promote women's rugby and show the connectivity behind women's rugby. So I've been passing a ball from club to club, a sign ball, and literally just demonstrating how amazing these players are and amazing the sport is. So what I've enjoyed about it the most, it's got to be going into the rugby clubs. We'll be going into and have gone into 15 so far, and we've got two more to go. The reception's just been amazing, and it's been so awesome to meet all the female rugby players. And it just demonstrates by seeing them just how big the rugby family is and how incredible the rugby family is. The crazy thing has definitely been the hills. And most people would think that Scotland is quite hilly, and it is. But then actually Cumbria was hillier, and my climbs were even bigger. And then they got bigger still going into Wales, and then into like the Mendips. And then after that, Devon and Cornwall. I've just reached my highest climb again yesterday in Cornwall. So things just keep going up and up and up. And to me, doing it this way around, it was going to be all downhill, and it's definitely not. So it's kind of bizarre. I'll be finishing on Thursday this week, so 2 days to go. Yeah, can't believe it, actually, that it's almost done. Thank you so much to everybody for your support. It means so much to me. Please keep supporting, and please keep spreading the word about women's rugby. Everybody that goes to watch women play, I know that they're going to see exactly what I saw 3 years ago, and that these women are incredible and they deserve your support. So please keep doing so. If you want to read more about the challenge and to donate to the challenge, please pop on over to end2end.org.uk and have a little read. And yeah, press on the donate button. That'd be awesome. So it's end with a two in the middle, then end2end.org.uk. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you.
Absolutely incredible what she's doing, Phil. Yeah. We will share the donation link. But remarkable, eh? And all about spreading the love and taking those balls from one women's club to another.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. You know, I had to Google how far it is. 837 miles. I mean, you know, you hear people doing it on a bike and that's insane, but that's a bike. That's not a wheelchair. Like, oh my God, absolutely incredible effort.
Well, follow the donation link that we will post on our socials. And good luck, Lexi, who finishes her mission this week around the time our pod comes out. So, good luck. Okay, one other quick shout out. Referee George Selwood, who we gave a little mention to earlier, but he actually did the three-peat this weekend. Ran touch at Northampton Quins and then refereed the Saturday PWR game at Saracens before running the line on Sunday in the men's Prem match. So a good shout out to George, who is burning the calories.
I know, I'd love to know his step count over the weekend.
Absolutely.
Can you message him, George?
The meal he'll be allowed to eat at the end
of it. Yeah, very true.
You know, that's mainly what it's all about. All right, we're getting short of time, so let's just run through quickly any other business. Fan chants. It's never really been rugby's strongest point. I was at the Stonex and I was hearing this was the chant I heard. We love you, Saris. La 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 la. We love you, Saris. La 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 la. I was like, surely if you've got to the point of deciding to opt for I Love You Baby as the tune, could you add a few more lyrics? Yeah. Not just we love you, Saris, la 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 la. I thought there's a lot of work to be done there, I think. And there were 80 minutes of juice, juice, juice at the
That's swing. A solid one, isn't it? No messing with that one.
So I think we need some work to be done there. WXV at the weekend, that was huge. Some big results there. We're focused on the PWR, but obviously the big ecosystem of women's rugby is what interests us as well. Mm-hmm. That World Cup draw will be coming after round three. Unofficially been told the 17th of October, but you didn't hear that from me. Right. Before we go then, Phil, it is time for your power play for this week. All sorts of options there. We've got Renika Bonner, the Millie David hat tricks, Zia Lima might be one of my suggestions. Emma Singh getting 22 points. Who's it going
to
be?
Right. Okay. I want to take you back to the Saris Trailfinder game. Okay. And you know, when you talk about momentum changes in a game, and that point where you could go, that was the point where they killed the team off. That was the point where the opposition just dissipated. Okay. And that was when Saris, about the 60th minute, they score a try, they take their restart, and then they kick a 50-22. Beautiful, right? The crowd erupts, the players are high five, and you're like, oh, Trailfinders, that's a shame. You gave it a good effort, but now is the time Saris run away.
We can see where this
is
going to go.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So what do? They finally defend the driving line at Maul that have been so successful to Saris for the whole game. Defend that. A couple of phases later, Grace White. Oh my gosh, she's fast. All right. You know what? From her try line, just decides to go on an outside arc and put the burners on. She's gone. And I do want to give actually a shout out to the Saris defense, Isla Andro, for chasing back. She gets her. But this is the point, and this is the power play. Not just that break, but the fact the entire team, for the last minutes of the game, flooded with her and ran with her. And only because of that did the offloads come and did the try then come for Vicky Laughlin, who just had the most amazing game. So for just resilience, heart, ambition, pace, oh my gosh, my power play goes to Ealing Trailfinders.
There we go. Well done, Ealing Trailfinders, having the support lines after the break. Love that. Well, this has been the Power Pod. We hope you've enjoyed episode two. We've done our best to run the rule over what happened in round one and give you a look ahead to round two and a few bits of other business as well. Keep in touch with us, as always, via the Power Line or any other bits and pieces on social media. See you next week, Phil.
Absolutely. Bright and early sunshine.
Yes, thanks very much. I will become a morning person. I really will. The PowerPod is a Level production produced by Caelan Matonga.